Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington this Thursday, April 9, 2020. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Eric Pickle, Johnny Cakes Auvaland, Jason Bishop. As always, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf. They are the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. You looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber? Just visit cropmetcalf.com to join their team.
All right, boys, so obviously we're in the middle of this pandemic. We're dealing with this corona thing, and every day you hear stories of different people. You know, D. Woods called in. He's had six friends afflicted with it. He had this one buddy that we put out the GoFundMe for yesterday. He'd passed, unfortunately, one of his bowling pals. And just, you know, hear more and more stories as the numbers become larger and larger. Well, it's actually affected the Junks. And I don't know if Valdez wants to touch on it. We talked about it yesterday, and I think he's willing to talk about it. But he's had to deal with corona now in his family. Go ahead, Valdez. Tell everybody what's going on.
So my grandma is 87 years old, and she is a part of a future care facility, kind of like a nursing home.
Right.
So she had like a artery surgery like 2 months ago. And so she's been in this future care home, and they ended up having an outbreak. So I don't know, we're two residents of it were diagnosed with coronavirus. So the entire place went on lockdown. And I don't know if it was one of the healthcare workers or if it was like family members visiting, you know, their grandmas and grandpas. So they went on a lockdown, and then she started feeling pretty ill Sunday night. And then she ended up having to go to the hospital on Monday, and they did a test. She tested positive for coronavirus. She had a high fever. She needed oxygen. She was having trouble breathing, achy, all of the symptoms. And so we were kind of, you know, out of the loop as you know, what they were going to do, how they're going to help.
Because you can't visit.
Yeah, because you can't visit. So we're just, we're in the dark, and we had no idea if she was going to be feeling better or anything like that. So we had a couple of days of just, you know, sitting around waiting, hearing secondhand and thirdhand from all the doctors and nurses, not really, you know, being able to talk to her and communicate with her and see how she's doing. And we ended up finding out yesterday that she is recovering right now, and it looks like it was a mild case of it. Whew. And it seems like she's going to be all right, but they're still keeping her in the hospital just to observe her and just to make sure as a precaution.
You know, right.
But the scary part is that when you have someone who is diagnosed with it and has the test and is in the hospital, is not being able to talk to them or go visit them. And, you know, me and my family, we were mentally preparing for her to die, basically, because, you know, she's 87 years old. She's a prime candidate to, you know, donk off because of coronavirus. And, you know, we're sitting there talking about it, not knowing anything, and, you know, trying to console my dad because it's my dad's mom.
Right.
And so he, you know, he just wants to be there next to her if she's going to, you know, go into the sunset, and he can't do that. And so he's very upset about it. And then I think you read a lot of the stories about you read the worst, basically, how, you know, everyone who gets it basically dies. Anyone old who gets it dies. And then there is some sort of relief and some hope out there that there are mild cases of it, and that, you know, people who, you know, have a certain blood type may not be as affected as other people. But we were very relieved that she's going to recover, it seems.
It's great news.
And yeah, isn't it amazing? She's okay. Like, when you found out that there were a couple people that had tested positive for corona, you guys went over there and tried to get her to leave, right? But she didn't want to leave.
Well, I think a lot of people are misinformed by it, because we thought, you know, the nursing home is an incubator for coronavirus.
Of course. Where it can be sitting ducks.
Yeah, where it can be easily spread. And so we tried to talk to her. My dad tried to talk to her to try to get her back to their house, for her to live for a little bit, so that she wasn't around all of these affected people. And then she didn't want to leave.
Right. She didn't want to leave because she didn't want you guys to be exposed to it, or other reasons?
I think she didn't want to leave because I think she was comfortable, and also, you know, she has, you know, people who are caring for her. And so I think she felt like
they're in a tough spot. Like, yeah, I think I probably have my best care here.
Right.
And so then, I'm just going to roll the dice and with this virus.
Yeah. And then also, if I were to get sick, at least the people are right here to take care of me.
Right. Right.
So I think that went through her head. And then she didn't want to leave. And then, you know, we were still checking up with her, and she was fine. And then all of a sudden it hit her one night, and she wasn't, you know, where she had to be put on oxygen on site and then had to be rushed to the hospital. And then that was kind of a whirlwind.
So where is she now?
She's still in the hospital in the Annapolis area. They're still observing her.
But she is corona negative now?
No, well, I don't know.
I doubt it.
She tested positive, but she's recovering. So I don't
know if
they
did. It takes a couple weeks to work through your system.
So I don't know if they do another test afterwards or anything like that.
I think they will. But, oh, yeah.
But
they release her.
Her fever's gone down. She's off oxygen and ventilators. And she seems to be doing a lot better.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, we're thinking about it. That's
great news, right?
It's good that she appears to be pulling through. That's awesome.
And I think the scariest part is just not knowing. And I think a lot of people...
Well, think about it, yeah. 14,000 people have died from it, right? And all their family members, generally, they're not there with them. Yeah, you can't be there with them. Yeah, people are FaceTiming their loved ones as they're dying.
Yeah, on either side of it, positive outcome, negative outcome, you just want to be there to support. And you can't even do that. Except for maybe, and I don't know if your 87-year-old grandmother can do FaceTime.
No.
Yeah, well, the nurses, I think what happens is the nurses and doctors help.
They'll do a regular old-fashioned phone call.
Yeah, and then we're
FaceTime. They'll help them with FaceTime.
And then we're bothering the nurses and doctors nonstop trying to figure it out, to get updates. And they have, you know, 10,000 other patients that they have to take care of. And so, it's hard on them, and it's hard on us to try and figure out
everything. It's a tough spot, and thank goodness that it seems like you're going to have a positive outcome with your grandmother.
Yes.
This wasn't a coronavirus case, but last night I found out a family friend passed away. I don't know. Do they have a funeral? Normally they would have a funeral. I'd have to go to that funeral.
I don't think right now.
Not now.
No funerals.
Yeah. So right. I was thinking
Where?
Of the family.
In
they
town?
Lived in Bethesda.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was an older gentleman. I don't know how old he was. I would say roughly 78, 79 years old, something like that. And he had some issues in the last 6 months. And, you know, I saw a message via Facebook that he had passed away last night. And I was thinking, they can't even have a funeral.
Mm-mm,
like, what are they
going
to do?
What I did learn from all of this is that not all news about coronavirus is bad. Is that they're, you know, but I think that there's a lot of, not hyping up, but I think that, you know, you focus on the sadder stories.
Right.
Of course.
They focus on that.
99% of the people who get it are surviving.
Well, even in the older age group where his grandmother, 80% survive.
Right.
Yeah. They don't show the recoveries enough.
Yes. I would definitely agree with that, especially with the elderly.
Right. That's like the third or fourth column, and people focus on the first column, which is total number of cases, where the United States leads the world by far, also had more testing, and also more populous. And then deaths is the number two column, and nobody really goes to any third or fourth or fifth columns, really.
Well, the media has something to do with that, Valdez, because you're talking about overhyping it. I mean, the media is always harping on the negative.
And then
the deaths, the amount of deaths, and how many people are in the shutdowns and the economy. The media has to do a better job of just sending good, you know, better messages.
Well, I'm
more positive messages.
I'm guilty of it too because I'm
just balanced.
I'm the idiot, you know, clicking on the stories of people in body bags and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
Hey, but I clicked on the story of people being burned alive in Wuhan.
Yeah, I think that's why. Just watching a few minutes of Chris Cuomo is good because that's a guy in our age bracket, and he's talking about his experience, and he's had kind of a hellish experience. I think he does a really good show in general, and he's doing the show, but he talks about what he's dealing with, the high fevers, the shivering, and how he's had some chest problems, tightness of the chest, and he's battling it out almost like working out, doing certain exercises every night, and showing how you can get through it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely good. All right, let's bang out some of these calls. Soap and Line Thursday, your chance to steer the show.
And by the way, I did see his interview with Governor Mike DeWine, the Republican governor from Ohio, who was one of the most aggressive governors early on. And if you look at the Ohio numbers, for the most part, they've been pretty good. He shut down, he talked about it, he shut down the Arnold Classic really early before anybody in the country had done anything. The Arnold Classic is a bodybuilding competition, and he said they would have generally about 60,000 people over the course of a few days in their convention center, and he shut it down before anything else was shut down. Think about how many lives he probably saved by doing that.
Let's hope, yeah. I got one of my daughter's volleyball teams is there. They needed to know by today if we're going to play, if we were up for allowing our daughters to play in a tournament in early June. And I just think it's crazy. I can't even fathom. I think they're going to cancel it, but they've tried to reschedule it and try to keep it going. So I told the coach, we'll sign her up, but I reserve the right to pull her. You know, do you think by June, let's say 10th or 12th, whatever it is, that they're going to have 1,000 people in a convention center?
No.
I can't imagine that.
No. The tournament director's got to make an executive decision there.
Well, everyone's just trying to get that money.
I got an email yesterday from our neighborhood pool, which is four blocks from me. Like I said, oh, we're opening up on May 24th or whatever the date is. No
chance. Like, sure you are.
They're talking about getting the pool passes and guest passes.
What? Right.
Like what is the point of this email?
All right phone numbers. We're going to go to calls. No, do we come back?
Yeah, I got
to
take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. We're the Junkies. Coming right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the show. Junks on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, coming up in just about an hour, comedian friend of the show Frank Caliendo is going to join us. And at 9 o'clock, Todd Reirden, head coach of your Washington Capitals, he will join the show as well. Keep your fingers crossed that the Caps can come back at some point and hopefully just jump right into the playoffs. I don't see any other scenario for the NHL other than to go straight into the playoffs. I don't think you can resume the regular season. So
no.
We'll talk more about that with Coach Reirden at 9. I saw LeBron was okay with a shortened season/playoffs being in a bubble just in Vegas. The way he's probably looking at it is, I don't want to lose a year where I potentially can win a title and win a ring.
Absolutely.
The Lakers really good this year, so even if it's a different type of season, even if it's almost like the NCAA tournament, they squeeze in a bunch of games, If he can win a ring, he'll take it.
I mean, these leagues are going to have to adapt. It might be shorter playoff rounds. You know, instead of best of seven every round, you go best of five. You might go best of three in the first rounds just to try to compress it and get everything in. We'll see how it works out.
And then
out.
How does that affect next season? So if your playoffs are going longer than they usually do in a normal year, and you're supposed to start camp in, I don't know, let's just say, when do they usually start camp in the NBA? Late September? Mid-September?
Probably.
How does that affect that? Like, when's the official starting date to next year? You know, that's got to all be adjusted. Same with hockey.
Well, that's one thing. Didn't we have somebody on that said that they're not going to change that, whatever they do? They don't want it to bleed into changing the start date for next year.
Right, but I think that's where the players won't approve of whatever format that they come up with. Like, the NHL players will have to vote on whatever format Bettman and the league comes up with in terms of extending
right.
this year.
Right.
But I doubt that they're going to play a long, you know, lengthened playoffs into the late summer and then come back to camp at the usual time.
They might want to change it. Look, I think Silver is proactive when it comes to thinking of different ways to change the sport. And I know that they've floated around basically changing the entire NBA schedule, where the season would actually start on Christmas Day, which is when a lot of fans start playing. So that's about 15, 20 games in. But Christmas Day is always a big deal, nationally televised. They have their best teams and the best matchups, and people start paying attention to the NBA then. If they start their season there and then they don't end in June and they're playing in July and August, where generally there's baseball, and wrap up before the NFL, it'd probably be advantageous for the NBA in terms of eyeballs.
Right.
Because now they compete with the NBA they compete with the NFL for the first couple months, and people just don't care.
And I guess what they could do is, you know, you play your whatever format you come up with for the postseason, and then next year is just an abbreviated year, just for that 1 year. You know, it's 50 games, 60 games, whatever
right.
it could be.
They don't
start
want to
later.
Do that.
I know they don't want to.
Yeah.
But I don't think the players are going to agree to a short offseason, even though they've had kind of an offseason here. But
yeah, they got to start considering this the offseason.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be different.
All right, let's bail out some of these calls. Soap and Live Thursday, your chance to steer the show, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Andre. Andre's been on hold for a while, calling from Manassas. Andre, what's up, man?
Hey, gentlemen. Good morning.
Hey, buddy.
Valdez, I'm happy, bittersweet to hear about your grandma, man. That's good stuff.
Oh, thank you,
survived.
Andre.
So, you know, you guys were talking about earlier about changes. What kind of changes are going to happen to society because of this? Yeah, I'm not too sure about the handshake going away. I mean, it's going to be hard, particularly for sports fans, when you see your team, when you see the players hugging, high five, and all that good stuff. So,
that's not going to go away. That can't.
Yeah, change is hard to do to 15 people, much less the entire country. But I do think a couple of changes that you might see, like one, and I think some European countries do it already. Eliminate all cash and credit card transactions. Everyone has a smartphone. I think, you know, I've even seen stories where, you know, homeless folks receive like Venmo cash on their phone and stuff like that. I think that's something that the government can do very easily. I think another thing, probably a little bit more controversial, you know, even when this coronavirus and the vaccine comes out, half the country's not going to take it. Half the country never takes or gets immunization. I do think from maybe
I think that's overstating incentive. It. When you say half, I think is overstating.
Well, it might be interesting. He might be right about the flu vaccine. You think? I bet you half the country doesn't get a flu vaccine, flu shot.
Yeah, but I think if the government does like a tax incentive, whether it's an incentive or something, a penalty if you don't take it, because at the end of the day, you got to start worrying about the public health, and we got to ensure that, you know, everyone takes care of the entire country, not just themselves.
Yeah, but now you start infringing on people's rights, though.
That's why you give a tax incentive. Hey, you don't have to do it, but if you do it, hey, here's an extra couple of bucks or something like that.
Yeah, but if it's safety, Eric, I mean, you could say the same thing about seatbelt laws and cell phone laws when you're driving.
Well, same thing about smoking. We allow
correct.
People to smoke.
I mean, they do have safety laws, which I guess technically would infringe on your rights. I'm sure there was resistance towards seatbelt laws.
Yeah, but then,
years
I mean,
ago.
So you're going to tell me I can't have sugared cereal? Because, it's, you know,
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that what he's arguing on behalf of is something similar, akin to a seatbelt law.
Correct, but like we allow people to smoke, even though the secondhand smoke could arguably hurt others.
Yeah, right. A bunch of ROMs out there puffing away.
But that, of course, has changed a lot over the years, too. We used to get on airplanes. When I used to go to Puerto Rico as a kid with my family, people were smoking on the planes.
Sure.
Yeah.
On the planes.
People used to smoke in hospitals.
Right.
How weird is that?
Right. Look, I'm always going to take the vaccine. I'll take any vaccine you got.
Yeah. If you've got a corona.
I'll take anything you got.
Yeah. I'm lining up for that. I'll be first in line for the
corona
vaccine.
But I'm not sure that you can make people take it. I'm just not sure about it. All right. Let's go to Mike in Bristow. Mike, what's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. First time, long time.
What's up, Mike? How you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. It's Mike the Banker. Hey, two things. One, EB, you're funny. EB, the world wants to know, if all the P1s want to know, are you still doing the trickle-down method in the shower with the corona? And then question two.
With my feet?
With your feet. Are you actually washing the feet, or are you letting it trickle down still?
Important question.
Trickle down, I
pretty
guarantee.
Pretty much
it.
Still trickle down, yeah, unless I have an issue. Yeah, pretty much a trickle down. Yeah, I mean, I wash my legs and my first thing I do, soap goes right to my Bozak. First thing I do, it's not unusual. I've seen a heat map where they've done studies before. All guys take their soap. First thing to go right to the Johnson.
Yeah. Then the underarms.
Then the rest of the body. And I don't get down there under my feet or anything unless, you know, like I've stepped in mud or something. Yeah, so trickle down.
What are you stepping in mud?
And even if he does that, yeah, what are you walking around barefoot?
Well, like if I'm at the beach
too much
or
naked
something.
And afraid.
Yeah.
If I'm at the beach, you know, I don't know.
Hey, hold on. So you wash your Johnson.
My Jimmy Johnson, very first thing. Right.
Then
every
use,
single
then
time.
Then you use the same rag to wash your face?
No, I don't use a rag. I put liquid soap in my hand, and then I put it all over my Jimmy Johnson and my potatoes.
Hold on, you don't use like a rag or a sponge or
nothing? Rag.
Hand.
I use hand as well.
I use a hand. I put liquid soap, and I suds up, just like when you're washing your hands, and I suds up my Jimmy.
But I wash in between my toes to get all that cheese out. Eric's
sure,
got more cheese
to.
Than an Italian deli.
That's a good line.
That's not really true, but okay, we can go with that.
I've used that multiple times.
Okay.
Still makes
it
me
works.
Laugh.
It's effective.
What else? Mike, did Mike have another question?
Oh, sorry. I let him go.
All right.
He usually only calls for games.
For zings. All right. What about line
Mike,
two?
By the way, Mike the Banker is a big dude, and I believe he played hoops at Fairfield.
Oh, did
what
he?
Bank nice. Does he work for?
Well, he used to be M&T, but I don't know where he is now.
Ah, okay.
You know, I talked to Horsey yesterday, who's in the mortgage business, mm-hmm. as I said, and we were just chatting about other things, and he said he can't believe how busy he is. He can't believe how many loans they're processing right now.
Is that
now.
All refi or these new homes? Or what
Both.
Are they doing?
Both. Okay. You know, GP, I don't want to be all in GP's business, but now that we're doing the weekend show together,
the
you know, he put his house for sale on Monday. He had three offers the very
wow.
first day.
Look at that.
Very
Good
first day.
That's
People
impressive.
Are crazy. People are crazy.
Maybe I should sell now.
Yeah, maybe you should. All right, it says line two. It says they're calling from the Netherlands, but I don't see a name. Drabby, is there a name there? His name is not.
Jay, sorry.
Jay. All right. Jay, what's up, man? You're all with the Junks.
What's up, boys? Bickle, you're weird in the shower, dude.
Why? What do you do?
Top to bottom with a rag.
With a rag? All right, hold on. Let's do a
with a rag or
called
a washcloth?
Shakes, do you use a washcloth in the shower?
It's the same thing.
I use a you guys are going to laugh. I use a poof.
Yeah, like one of those poofy things?
Yeah, I use that. Gets lathers you up nice and get nice and clean.
It's kind of effeminate, but all right.
Hey, it's what I use, man. I use the liquid soap. I don't use bar soap anymore.
No, I use
soap
liquid.
Primitive.
Yeah.
You use bar soap, you're living in the 1940s.
JP?
I use bar soap. I prefer it.
You do?
Occasionally we use liquid soap, but
do you go right to Jimmy Johnson first?
No, I go left arm, then I go right arm, then I do top of the chest. I go top to bottom, I guess.
Really?
Yes.
Man, you don't. My Jimmy Johnson is a priority. That thing has got to be sweet.
I give my own a butt probe first.
Is that where you go first?
I give myself my own butt probe.
I would go last on that.
And all liquid.
All liquid.
The poof, by the way, does not touch that area.
Oh, it doesn't?
No, it does
what
not.
What does?
That's more.
Trickle down.
Trickle down. That's
trickle
gross.
Down in
no,
there.
No, it gets attention, but that's more. I don't
Hand?
Know.
Hand?
Amy,
yeah,
that's Amy.
Yeah. No,
Amy?
No, my wife does not assist me with that.
Does she probe?
I bet she has before.
Kids used to always hype up that area when you went to the Borgata. When you go to, like, hotels, you always hype up abusing
that area. When I go to the hotel.
You'll abuse her towels.
I will take the washcloth, or as Valdez likes to call it, a rag.
Right.
And it'll go into the great beyond.
Right.
And then it winds up. And it winds up in the corner of the shower in a sad little heap. And I hope the maid is wearing
right. And then you don't tip the maid.
So I'm going,
She's got to pick up that dirty rag and
stop.
Gets nothing.
Or you take half of it back.
Stop the slander. Out of the four junks, I probably tip the maid the most. And with the most frequency.
All right. I'm not a big maid tipper. I'd say get a better job.
But you've also made profit on tips for the maid.
Once. That's an isolated incident. One time.
It's only because he had a bad day at the tables.
One time, baby. Give me my one time.
Like right. I said, maid.
Hold on, Jay. What else did you have, Jay?
Just wanted to say thanks for what you guys are doing. It's hard here because we're pretty much on lockdown a little bit longer than you guys have been.
What brought you to the Netherlands, by the way? What brought you there?
My wife's work. We're going to be here for another 2 years.
Wow. Do you guys have kids? Do you guys have kids?
Yeah, two kids. Yeah, they're
your wife. She must have a silly job. She's a good earner.
Is she State Department or something? What does she work
for? I'm in your pockets now.
Yeah. Yeah, she does. We live in a little beach town just north of The Hague, which is considered the Beverly Hills of the Netherlands.
Nice.
So we do quite well. Yeah.
Isn't The Hague like the Washington D.C. of the Netherlands? That's where all the government is, correct?
Most of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where did you live before, and what do you miss the most about it?
So I'm originally from Baltimore. I was living in Houston for about 12 years.
We've met you before, right? Maybe Poker Opens or whatever?
Yeah. Yeah. I've met you guys probably like maybe five or six times. I call myself a P1 that doesn't bother you guys.
Nobody bothers. You're good. Don't worry. hey, are there a ton of hotties there in the Netherlands?
Dutch women are pretty attractive. Yeah.
Really?
I would, as far as European women go, they're ranking probably top three.
Right. And how are they – so you guys are on lockdown. Is it, like, spreading like crazy, or they've done a pretty good job keeping it under control?
We're at a 10% mortality rate right now, and they're kind of being donks about it because they're doing kind of this hybrid lockdown herd immunity kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
And it's not working. So we're – as a family, we're on total lockdown. I'm the only one that's going to the store. I'm the only one that's doing everything. I'm being really cautious about the packages that are coming in and spraying them down and all that fun stuff. But if you go to the beach right now, it's a 70-degree day right now. If I went to the beach right now, it would be packed.
That's unbelievable.
That's
crazy. There's a 10%. So you got a 10% chance of docking off if you get this, probably because the hospitals are overrun.
And they are. I think there's only like two or three days left of ventilators. The last news report I saw. It's kind of nuts here.
Well, what they're saying is they're learning about this disease, if this is true or not, is that the ventilators really aren't helping. If you get put on one, you generally die, and they're holding off and trying other things because just kind of like forcing air into your lungs is not what this disease requires. It's kind of what they thought intuitively, but it's not really the best treatment. So, yeah, if I had the corona, I wouldn't let them put me on a ventilator. I'd try everything else other before they did that because you got about a very low chance of getting off that thing.
Yep.
Anyway.
Same here. Yep.
Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad you're being safe and being smart. And I don't know, man. Hang in there.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Hey, and real quick, the reason I called, I wanted to shift gears a little bit. Wanted to get your take and as well as Valdez's take on the Ravens free agency moves. I don't get a lot of Ravens news, so if you guys
I haven't paid attention to one of their moves. What have they done, Valdez?
Get the Ravens whisperer on there.
They signed Calais Campbell, or they traded for Calais Campbell. I think it was a fifth round pick.
Yeah.
Right, they signed Derek Wolfe, who was
from Denver.
From Denver, who is on their defensive line.
They had agreed with Brockers, but then I guess the physical didn't go through.
He couldn't come in for the physical,
right?
Which is kind of like what they did with Ryan Grant last year when they signed him and said his ankle's too banged up. But anyways, their signings, I guess, are re-signings because they re-signed Marcus Peters to a long-term deal.
Jimmy Smith,
Judon, although Jimmy Smith's going to be like the third or fourth corner. So they're improving
Jimmy. That's good to know.
They're improving the defensive line, which was their bugaboo last year, evident in the Titans game.
But offensively, they're all back, right?
Yeah, besides back. Hayden Hurst, they traded him for a second round pick from Atlanta. Right. I actually think the Ravens are going to. I think they're going to trade up in the draft. and either draft Lamb or Judy, whichever one falls to like 13 or 14.
You did have Marshall Yanda retire.
Yeah, Yanda did retire. Yeah. That hurt.
So where are you guys drafting right now?
28th.
28?
Yes.
All right.
That's what happens when you're silly.
That's true. You pick at the end of the first round.
All right, guys.
Because yeah, you probably got to get up to 10, 11, 12 to get one of those two receivers.
I think if they fall to 13 or 14, they'll trade up. Yeah. But but they'll stand pat and draft, was it Murray or Queen with the linebacker?
Yeah, it's a deep receiver core, even if they wait until 28.
All right, it's Open Line Thursday, your chance to steer the show. Thank you, Jay. Be safe, buddy. If you're worried that uncertainty could lead to loss of home equity, talk to the experts. My friends, the realtor rock stars, Sarah and Debbie Reynolds with Keller Williams Realty. They'll help you make decisions with honest, straightforward advice about interest rates, your home's value, the rental market, and buying or selling a home. Plus, the Reynolds team guarantees to sell your home at list price, or they'll pay you the difference. There's never been a better time to have an expert on your side. Call the Reynolds team at 844-654-SOLD. That's 844-654-SOLD and start packing.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Welcome back. Junkies coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Remember, coming up at 8:20, our pal Frank Caliendo, comedian, is going to join us. Don't want to miss that. And we've got the head coach of the Washington Capitals, Todd Reirden, at 9.
By the way, they just teed off down at Augusta, first round of the 2020 Masters.
Nice.
Justin Rose and Thorbjørn Olesen are your early leaders at 2-under.
You're doing the Mike Wise bit.
Also,
well, it's first round of the Masters, Kicks.
That's right. It's up
don't
and running.
You, don't you know that?
Also, on the heels of yesterday's revelation that Eric didn't know Alan Rickman played Hans Gruber in Die Hard. That actually might have been 2 days ago. I prepped a little movie game for EB.
Ah, very good.
Why are we just beating a dead horse?
We're just going to have a little fun.
It's fine.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What are you doing to do?
Let's do one on JP on like
why don't prep it.
Words with S's.
Why don't we do this?
I mean,
I actually like the millionaire game. I think we should rotate it each week, once a week, and then we each have a chance to ask the questions.
I was very upset that Who Wants to Be a Millionaire aired at 10 p.m. last night.
Yeah, really? Why was it so late?
Because I guess they had to do like Modern Family. They're closing it out, so they did like 2-hour-long episodes to wrap up the series. I thought Who Wants to Be a Millionaire would be on like at 8 o'clock. It's on at 10.
And then why is it celebrity?
I don't know.
I don't understand that angle. Don't you want to see
it popular that way?
Well, don't you want to see like a regular Joe win $1 million? That's kind of silly.
I think it's silly too, but celebrities just move the needle more. I mean, it's that simple. right?
Right, and then they donate the money to charity.
You think I care about Anthony Anderson?
If you know, I know you don't.
I know, they're always D-list celebrities. I wonder if a celebrity would do Naked and Afraid.
You're obsessed with that show.
You got to be desperate to do that.
By the way, on the entertainment meter for you, on a scale of 1 to 10, where did Naked and Afraid fall?
For me, personally, I would put it at a 4.
4 out of 10.
It was somewhat entertaining, but not to the point where I would watch it again.
Clearly, it's not for everybody. They've got 11 seasons of it. I think it's popular, but the
episode that I saw, okay, it's a dude and a woman. They're put on the island, or they're dropped on this little island in the Bahamas, and they each get to bring one item.
Right.
He brings a machete.
Right.
And she brings
a fire starter.
Right. Okay. So, like, 5 days in, fire's butt important. You need it, you know, like to cook anything that you catch. You need it to keep the bugs away.
You can't survive if you don't have fire.
You need to keep warm at night. I mean, fire is essential.
Mm-hmm.
The big dummy lost the fire starter.
He lost it. He misplaced it.
Yeah, lost it.
Oh, my God.
I was like, I did this. I put my hands in my head like,
I would have killed the guy.
You big stupid. Now, luckily, the fire kept burning. They kept it going the entire time. They wound up not needing it. But I wanted to throw my TV out the window when I saw him do that. What a big stupid!
Well, that's the fascinating part is watching these people make fire.
You're bringing two items,
right?
Keep track of the two items that you bring. It's not like you're bringing 1,000 different items to the island. You're bringing two things.
Cakes. Chuck did that in Castaway. He made fire.
He did make fire.
How did he make fire in Castaway? Just with the old wood thing?
Rubbed like two rocks together or something right on the beach.
Oh, he did?
Had his own fire pit.
Right.
Well, don't you remember he was pounding his chest? Oh, I made fire!
He doesn't remember?
I don't think I saw it.
Oh, come on.
Do you remember the name of the volleyball?
Wilson. Yeah, but Wilson. I don't think I saw it.
You didn't see Castaway?
Because it was just one guy in there for 2 hours.
Oh, it's a movie, Naked and Afraid.
It's a good movie. You'd like it.
You're exactly right, Valdez. It's a two-hour version of Naked and Afraid with a way better actor.
When is this phase going to end, by the way?
When I'm done with it.
You keep finding these shows that no one else is watching, and you become obsessed with them. Naked and Afraid, J.J. DeBoss, Beachfront Bargain Hunt.
Valdez watches that.
Trav, you've hit on a very good point.
Oh, Beachfront. I love that.
Jason watches that, yeah. Well, on HGTV?
What's the host?
Is Marnie. She's hot.
What's
the one with Christina and Tariq?
You watch it. You know as well as I do.
It slips my mind.
Flip or Flop.
Christina Almusa.
I haven't heard Flip or Flop in 3 years.
They're all doing their own shows now.
But I think they still do one together, too. I think. Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Maybe
Flip
or Flop is done.
They have two separate shows.
Yeah.
Never seen a flop.
I got sized for that Chicago show, but that girl and her
Chicago rehab.
Yeah, that girl and that contractor, they had a bitter breakup, so I don't know what's going to happen. They weren't dating, but, I mean, she thinks he's a scoundrel now, her contractor. So, anyway. I don't know. Naked and Afraid's my new jam. I get sized for it. I get sized to watch him make fire, and I'm terrified of all the animals, like the snakes and alligators and everything.
My due diligence. I watched my one episode.
I've done my duty. I always wonder if the couples will spoon.
There was no spooning, but Valdez would have been butt-sized because their diet consisted entirely of crabs that were running around the island. Yes.
Probably not silly blue
not
crabs.
Blue
no,
crabs.
They weren't blue crabs. They were hurting, running around some Bahamian island.
They were the same crabs that Chuck was eating in Castaway. Poopy. Right.
Dude, I watched one the other day where they killed a possum. A possum is one of the grossest animals ever, and they gutted it and ate that sucker.
Sure, got to eat, right?
Hey, why don't you just start walking around your backyard with a sock on your slinky?
I mean, I'm just telling you, man, I love the show. I get butt-tucked.
You'd have to dodge the droopy power lines. There are so many hazards.
I was so bored last night. I was watching the rerun of the 2018 Par 3 at the Masters.
Oh, you are bored.
Is that when Jack's grandson hit a hole-in-one?
Yes, Jack and it was Gary Player, and they were all playing together.
Did you see Ben Crenshaw's hot daughters?
This is the second day in a row you've mentioned Ben's hot daughters.
I mean, just Google it. Wow. The show. And did you see Allison Stokey walking around in
of
her
course.
Caddy bib?
Yeah, she was carrying her. She was looping for Ricky. Yeah.
Don't you want to know what's underneath the caddy bib?
I can only imagine.
Did she grab the flagstick and try to pole vault with it?
No,
any of
she
that?
Didn't.
None of those bits?
Yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have used Instacart, right? And I used
not.
It the other day. And it was interesting. I don't want to get too bogged down into the details, but I filled it out like on a Friday. It said it was going to be delivered on a Wednesday. I adjusted my order on a Saturday. And then all of a sudden, it said food's going to come in like 2 hours. After, and I was like, oh, I must have caught it when I updated it at a good time. And so all this food came on Saturday. Well, what do you think happened yesterday? They duplicated my order. I got two orders. You know how many lemons and limes? I now have like 5 bags of marshmallows.
You can make homemade Sprite.
I got 100 chocolate bars. I mean, I have so much of the same stuff. I have like 8 bags of these chips. It's unbelievable.
Well, you
what
should.
I have
you paid a 70% surcharge on it.
Chips, yeah. Those. And I was kind of goofing, and I put a picture yesterday on Twitter saying that I was ready for, you know, the pandemic or whatever. But it's because I got a duplicate order from Instacart. They doubled up my order. And
I'm so out. I'm out on it.
I spent $500 on food this week.
I'm done. I'll never use it.
Well, I don't even think it's them. I think it was like a website glitch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how exactly does the guy who does the shopping then drop it off at your house? Is that how it works?
They drop it off at their front door and text you that they just left the food there.
Okay.
I mean, it works great. I have to say I like it. There is a $15 delivery fee or whatever, and then you could tip them whatever you want to tip them. It works great. And then while they're there, like if they don't have the salmon, they text you, okay, it's out. Do you want this as a replacement? And for each item, you just say yes or no. So, I mean, it actually works really, really well. But I got double the food this week. I've got 100 oranges. I've got so many bags of turkey right now. I don't know what to do with it.
Well, it's going
to
go bad.
I got
you're not going to be able to eat it all.
I got everything duplicated.
Yeah, you're going to waste so much food.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And, by the way, it's taken the joy out of like, I kind of like I actually used to like going to Safeway because, you know, you get, like, your nice salmon. You're going to get your, you know, kind of picking out your meal stuff. Now when the food comes, it's like the house is in lockdown. I got to put everything in the garage. I got to wipe everything down. It's a freaking stressful situation. I don't know. They've literally taken the joy out of food shopping.
Hey, just cut out the middleman and go dump your money into your fire pit and light it on fire.
Yeah.
That's why
I did this week.
I'll pull up to the front of Harris Teeter, let my wife go in there, and we just get what we need for that day or the next couple days.
So you're doing that all the time, but you're exposing yourself all the time, your wife.
Well, my wife wears the mask, so if you tell me masks are good, you've been telling me that for a month.
No, they definitely help.
She wears one.
But I mean, it's mostly to prevent her from spreading it and her touching her own face. But like Cakes is wearing a mask and touching his face 100 times.
Well, I'm pretty confident she doesn't have it.
I've been good about if I'm wearing the mask, even if my nose is itching like the worst it's itching its life, I don't touch my stupid face.
Right.
I've been pretty good about it.
Right.
Well, I touch my face 100 times during the show, but not when I'm out and about.
Somebody just sent me a video because, you know, we touched on how they're now saying they want you to wear a mask even if you go out for a walk or a run. And they're showing the particles, you know, like if they did like an infrared thing that are come out of your mouth when you're breathing, when you're running, and you just see just a cloud of germs around everybody when they're running. So maybe we should be wearing masks. It's pretty scary.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number's 800.
The world's never going to be the same, Cakes.
1067. If you want to chime in on anything, you can also tweet us at Junks Radio. Be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.